Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another breakdown bonus episode. I got my boy, co-worker Justin.
I'm excited.
Are you?
I am. No, I'm excited.
For those of you who can't see, Justin is literally drinking pee-pee out of a cup.
It's like watered down Gatorade. It looks really gross.
He's drinking knockoff Liquid IV. I'm expecting you to be coming out in full force with
this
episode.
I've got all the electrolytes going right now.
So a quick note about last week's main episode. I have seriously never gotten so much of a response from an episode since season 1, episode 9, which if you listen to it, you know. So a bunch of people were DMing the Breakup Breakdown Instagram, subtle plug. Be sure to follow us at Breakup Breakdown Podcast. And I got to have another conversation with our interviewee from last week about those questions. So if you want to hear the answers to those and get a little behind the scenes information, be sure to stay tuned at the end of this episode. We are going to break down this week's episode, which was about a co-worker romance gone wrong, which What better person to have than my married co-worker?
Yes.
Who I've had nothing but a platonic relationship with to come on and break down this episode. So we start off and they meet at the unhappiest place on earth, Disney. They get together. He tells her over Facebook Messenger, which I found so funny, just picturing that little notification coming through being like, hey, our conversation was so great that I'm ready to divorce my wife for you.
That's first red flag right there.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Romantic or red flag?
Pretty much a red flag. I get it. There could have been stuff going on in the back end with that marriage and you don't know what's going on. But after one conversation, you're telling somebody you're leaving your marriage for them. That's not a good sign. There's too many unknowns. If you've only met the person for that long, like there's just so much that you haven't explored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. If somebody messaged me, I'd be like, fair. I totally see.
Thanks.
I totally see why you would want to divorce this person for me. However,
it's a great compliment, but also a little messed up.
Yeah, I definitely think there was more to that divorce than obviously we knew. We obviously couldn't spend the whole time breaking down that breakup. We had to get into
that's what you have to do. You have to drill down and now find that relationship and find out what happened there.
I know, part two for this episode coming to you in season 3 maybe. Okay, so then they get together finally and I can't remember if they moved in together or not, but this is when Anna gets introduced, our friend Anna, who in the middle of the Target checkout line,
again bold move,
said, I am going to get that man away from you. To which, if I'm the girl in this, if I'm the interviewee in this episode, I'm thinking, oh, what's your plan? I'm curious. Like, what?
How are you going to do it?
Yeah. Can we lay this out?
What's the blueprint to your approach here?
I would be interested to see what her plan would have been.
Yeah. Again, bold move. I think that also a red flag from that person's perspective. I don't know. If you're in a relationship, it should just mean off limits. No touchy.
You know,
like, stay away.
No.
So.
The only rule in relationships.
Right. So I feel like even if you're not friends with somebody, I don't know, like if you find out they're in a relationship, that's a sign to like stop whatever you're trying to do and move on, go find your own, you know?
Well, here's the thing. She's telling me that in Target. I'm like, if we had been at the Circle K, it would have gone down. But I was like, you know what, Target?
Mm-hmm. Too classy.
It's a little classy. It's a little nice.
I don't understand the approach of why you would say that to the significant other than to try to piss them off and get them to have a reaction. I can't see the benefit in saying immediately what's going to happen is that person's going to go tell the significant other what happened and could potentially probably close him off to you, which is what should happen in a good relationship.
And it's, of course, it didn't happen because it's a breakdown and it only gets worse and worse and worse. Okay, so let's take it there. She confronts the boyfriend and he's like, you know what? I'm going to cut things off with Anna. Not what happens. They go to a soccer game. Here's my point of contention here. So a photo gets taken of Anna and Mark kissing.
Yes.
The mother posts this photo on Facebook. His mom posts it.
What, did he send it to her? Like, look at what we're doing.
I think what she had told me was that it was like they were watching it on TV and they were on like the kiss cam or something.
Oh.
I wonder if it was a selfie. Anyway, my question is, I wonder what the motives were for this mother. I keep wanting to call her the mother-in-law, but not the mother-in-law.
The
mom of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Do we think she was trying to get back at the interviewee? Do we think she really thought it was the interviewee? What vibes were you picking up, coworker Justin?
I feel like you know what you're doing when you post a photo like that, like especially if they didn't look anything alike. Like you're trying to, and clearly from other comments that were made, that mother of the boyfriend didn't like her anyway. So I think she was just trying to like stir the pot, get the drama going even more than it was already going, and go from there.
I was absolutely picturing Jane Fonda like posting that and being like, ha ha ha, ha,
yeah,
ha.
Like, yes.
Because then a fight breaks out in the comment section, and honestly, props to our interviewee's dad, because I love my dad. I just had lunch with him. him. Lovely human. I don't know if my dad would have started throwing hands in the Facebook comment section.
I don't know. I feel like it's different though. Like if your boyfriend's mom posts a picture and says, look at how happy Abby and said boyfriend are, and it is clearly not you, I feel like most dads would be like, what is happening now? Like maybe not comment, but you would be getting a phone call, or there would be some kind of communication as like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Well, it would have been my mom in the comment section. Oh. 100%. It would have gone one of two ways. It would have been like, oh my gosh, Abby has a boyfriend? Wait, this is new? Or my mom would have literally gone like full psycho.
And been like,
crazy.
What is happening?
Yeah, this crazy person.
Yeah.
Honestly, like would be really entertaining to see. So maybe that'll be my April Fool's joke next year, God willing.
Get somebody to post, like a fake kiss cam photo of whoever you're dating and somebody else. Or just like dye your hair a different color and then post it. Not tell your mom you dyed your hair and see what happens.
I'll enter my Ariel era again with my yes. bright red hair again. She's
go.
Back. Yeah, so that photo gets posted. And what to me was the craziest part of this whole story is like, if that happened to me, if I had to look at my boyfriend cheating on me, oh, it would have been done.
Yeah.
I would have sent it into Barstool Sports for it's money, first of all.
Right, get some kind of drama going. She said she didn't even bring it up. I don't know how you don't bring it up at that point.
Like, it's really cheap rent.
It's like,
fair.
And so like, Nicole and I tell each other everything. So like, if I have any kind of tea on anything, I come home, like sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I'll wait. We'll have dinner first and then I'll tell her. And I'll be like cooking. I'll be like, oh my God, you know what?
I want a fat margarita on the table. Like, yeah. I want chips and salsa.
You just immediately start gossiping about whatever it is, if it's friends, if it's work or whatever.
But in this case, the drama is about you.
Yeah. I don't know. Like the anger you have to feel seeing that is hard to keep internalized, I would imagine. Especially because she said when she saw the other comment, she saw red and kind of just went crazy. So it was like, you didn't see red off that one? Because I feel like I would have.
Well, she was in Target. Everything was red. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to keep it to myself. I would have been so resentful of him cheating on me that I wouldn't have been able to keep it to myself. So it's one thing if like you see the photo and then you confront them and they're like, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. And then you work through it. But to keep it to yourself, I mean, eventually it comes out.
Yeah.
But I'm too petty.
Well, not only that, is in my mind, is like, you already know his friends, your friends, everybody on Facebook has seen this comment now or this post about it and probably talked about it with their significant others and were like, oh my gosh, what is going, you know, like,
hence how we got this story.
Right. So like, there's no way I would have held that one in.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the first thing out of my mouth through the door. Like, what the hell is going on?
Well, I guess I thought it was interesting that if I have photo evidence of my boyfriend kissing me, to me, like her breaking point in this story was when she saw the text messages between Anna and the boyfriend.
Right.
I'm like, wait, the text messages were the breaking point, which like, I get it. This isn't coming from a place of judgment at all. It's like interesting to me to see like what people's breaking points are. Like doing this podcast, I said this in the last episode, it's like a case study on why people choose to stay in relationships and what your, I can't remember what the right word is, but like, what's your threshold for
that you'll deal with.
BS. Like, what are you willing to tolerate? And so it's interesting to me because a photo for me, so much worse than text messages.
Yeah.
So it's like interesting to see from this person's point of view that like a text message conversation was the threshold.
And I guess depending on what was actually said, like word for word, could change how you react to those kind of conversations. Again, the picture to me is, it's like, that's all I need. Like that,
a picture's worth 1,000 words.
That's what I mean, is like, you have said everything I need to say with that one action right there. So nothing you say in a text is going to make me react differently.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be mad either way. So why not just start with the photo that we've seen?
Okay, so let's go back to the monster-in-law. That's just what I'm going to label this woman. We find out, we get more context as to why maybe this mother-in-law, monster-in-law, posted this photo. She does not like our interviewee.
No.
Monster-in-law is Southern and real old-fashioned, and our interviewee is not. They just clash in heads. For you, if you had introduced Nicole to your family and they're like, not a fan, would you have been able to stick that out? Or how would you have worked through that?
I guess it depends on how long into the relationship we were. My family didn't like one of my exes. The way that was approached is, they didn't tell me while we were dating. I was told afterwards.
Was it for valid reasons?
Yeah, I think so. Like, my mom felt like she saw a lot of herself in my ex from a way she handled things situation, like anxiety wise and all that stuff, had a lot of that going on. And so my mom saw that and didn't want me to have to go through something like that. Which then I was like, why didn't you tell me like while we were going through this situation? She's like, I didn't think it would have helped. I don't know. And I was like, honestly, I don't know. Because at that point, like, again, blinded by love, like, you're just doing your thing. And so I don't know if it would have helped.
Did the anxiety thing ever come up in your relationship? The thing that your mom was pointing out, did that ever become a problem for you in that relationship?
It was one of the reasons when I was approached to potentially get back with that person that I was kind of like, maybe we just stay single and we'll be cool with each other, but don't have to, you know, go back down this aisle again. And then once after that happened, my parents had pointed out that was why they didn't fully get on board with that relationship. And then I was like, okay, because it was stuff I was thinking and felt once we had kind of taken a break or went through whatever we went through. And then when it was like, all right, let's go back to doing what we were doing, I was like, nope, you know what? I realized why I wasn't having a good time and this is it.
The vibes weren't there in this relationship.
The vibes were just not great, man.
That to me sounds like a valid reason of your parents actually just looking out for your best interest.
Right.
Monster Law just seemed like she just didn't like this girl.
Yeah, if it was like, I don't know, if my mom came to me and was like, I just don't like that she's so quiet. I'm like, okay, well then get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you want me to do about that. I can't tell. Like, talk more.
It's more about your family than your girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever you're dating.
Right.
For me, it would really bother me if they didn't get along with my family. But like, I also don't always get along with my family. So it's sort of like, as long as there's not like severe red flags, like this man makes you unhappy or whatever, like I think I would be able to move past it and we'll just spend holidays somewhere else.
I mean, I know some relationships that still do holidays separate, which is interesting.
Separate as in?
Like they go with their family, the other one goes with their family every holiday.
They don't spend holidays together?
No.
That would make me resent my family so much.
I think they choose, like as a relationship, they just choose to do that.
Oh.
They're like cool with it.
They'd rather do that?
That's what they say they're doing.
Interesting.
I'm interested to see what happens once like a kid's involved.
Yeah.
Like how's that going to go?
Well, that's my thing is I do think my parents will be good about whoever I end up with as long as they're not like, I don't know, a criminal. And so I'm not really too worried about it. I think my parents will make an effort no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would make my parents sad if I was dating someone or married someone, they chose to go somewhere else. Like, I think that would really bother them.
We always just do the every other rule.
That's what I thought you did.
It helps that like Nicole and I really sometimes can't take holidays off depending on how things go, specifically with her work or my work. So mm-hmm. we really only get one big holiday a year. And so we just make sure every other year is spent with the other family. Like last year we did, well, we were going to do Christmas with her family, but COVID kind of put a damper on that one. So this year we're going to go to my family for Thanksgiving because my family does like a big Thanksgiving thing and the whole family's finally doing it this time. So, you know, it's like, we'll do that. And then next year we'll go to Christmas or do another holiday with her family. So we just kind of bounce back and forth. And then no side, because you'll realize this, you start feeling like you don't want either side to feel slighted and you will really go through it like full speed when you're wedding planning. So
yeah, it's funny. It's like 5 years ago, I wouldn't have ever really thought to care much about the person I'm dating's parent. Whatever, we can get through anything.
That's for life.
But now I'm like, it's either such a huge selling point. Like mm-hmm. I was stuck on a guy for years because I just liked his mom so much. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, now I don't have to worry about the monster-in-law thing. And now I'll be scrolling through like guys' Bumble profiles. Mm-hmm. And if they have a photo with their mom, I'm like, do I look like I would get along with her?
Yeah.
Does she look like a nice lady?
And I've never had the monster-in-law problem in any relationship I've ever been in. I've actually gotten along with all of my relationship's family, but Nicole's was very much like right off the rip. We were all on the same page. They're very family oriented. They want to go on vacation every summer and make sure we have like a whole week where we're partying together. And it's never like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So bringing in this story home, because we just went on a whole whole detour about family, because I could go on for days about that. We end the story with a Hail Mary, I like to call it. A Hail Mary proposal, which you had some thoughts on.
The ring situation. Again, rings are expensive, so just get the saying in the inside of the ring, take that out, and then everybody's good, right?
But like, it was a Hail Mary. Like he probably dug it out of his underwear drawer and was like, hey babe, let's get married.
Yeah.
Even though I almost broke up with you 2 days ago.
The reason behind it, that of the motive of all of that was not great.
No.
Like, it's not a good move. I think it was something you mentioned as like he was hoping that getting married to her would change him and his, I guess, urges to cheat or talk to whoever else it was.
I don't know if those were my words. Maybe she said something along those lines.
Yeah, something like change. It was something about change the person.
Here's what I think you're referencing. I said that sometimes people will propose to their significant other if they're getting nagged about engagement just to shut them up.
And that's not the best way to like approach an engagement, obviously.
No. Well, especially like if you're getting engaged, this is my thing because my mom is like, my cousin's getting engaged. She's like, when when you get engaged, like, what should I tell your fiance? I'm like, I'm not even dating anybody. Anyway, every time she asks me, I just go, I just want it to be intentional mm-hmm. about our relationship.
Did you see the viral video of the girl yelling at the guy for proposing to him or to her in sweatpants?
No.
I'll have to find, Nicole sent me that one the other day. It was so funny.
Yeah, you're going to send
it to me. But like, I think there is a little bit of that, like, depending on the person's personality,
yeah,
they might want to have had their hands, nails painted a little bit. Like, I understand that part of it. But like you were saying, like the whole to fix a problem or to mask a problem. What I've noticed in marriage with Nicole and I is marriage doesn't fix Mm-mm. anything. Marriage is just literally you dating, except now you wear something on your finger.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Especially nowadays, most people move in with each other and are basically like, that's what I've said this on previous episodes. If you combine any of your finances or living situation with someone, like mm-hmm. that is essentially marriage.
Yes.
Not on paper.
And that's why I get the whole not living together until marriage mm-hmm. and then figuring it out. So maybe that side of it, if that's the path you choose, that can change some things. But if you're already living together and your finances are essentially combined at that point, mm-hmm. like nothing really changes that much. Like Nicole and I got back from our wedding and we're like, hey, now what?
Exactly.
Like, okay, let's, she goes, are you going to ever mount that TV on the wall? I'm like, oh, all right.
I didn't do it last week.
Yeah.
That license doesn't change nothing, Nicole.
Right. I said, I'll get to it. She's like, you say that all the time. You know, all right. So that's how that goes.
Yeah, so it was definitely a Band-Aid that ended mm-hmm. up not even fixing things. It was like they put the Band-Aid on and then they ripped it off and then it made the wound worse. But thank God the relationship finally ended.
There was like 6 times that it should have ended before the time it ended, you know?
Well, that's kind of the end of the story. I mean, we had a little bit of trouble with, you know, exes towards the end, but I feel like we hit all the main points of the episode.
Yeah, and I would say my last thing was she was talking about she would have like phantom red flags, I'll call them, from previous relationships where like...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wait, we do need to touch on that. Problems that you have going into new relationships because of ones that you were in.
And I think there should be a goal to not bring that baggage in. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you can't always do that. Like sometimes that is just how it's going to go. I think you have to remember is like it's a whole different person and they might not mean the same things that was intended from the past times that whatever was said or liking the same football team means.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it too. You got to try to not bring the baggage with you from past relationships.
But I mean, even if you didn't have like a traumatic relationship. So I've been single for a very long time. This is towards the end of college. I started dating somebody for a couple months-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the baggage I was bringing into that relationship in terms of like feelings of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an over-communicator.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling something, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you every emotion that goes behind it and why I feel that emotion.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
No man wants to listen to that.
I think as you get older, you'll realize that changes. Because Nicole and I, when we first started dating, were big into like just not, like just kind of internalizing our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, if I come home and I'm clearly upset about something or mm-hmm. something, she'll be like, why are you being standoffish? Like, what's going on? And I'll be like, ah, you know, you did this. And I just, it annoyed me. And she'll be like, all right, well, what? Instead of being like defensive, you know, like where you get like, it shouldn't annoy you. Like, it's not my problem that it annoyed you. It's more like, okay, so why about me doing that? Did it annoy you so that I can make sure the next time we're at this road, I don't do it that way? Vice versa, we kind of have that communication. I don't know if it's an older thing or mm-hmm. now we know we just literally have no other options than each other. We have to make it work.
That's what my parents say is like when they talk about divorce, they're like, for most of our life, we were too poor to get divorced. We couldn't leave each other. So what you're saying is what I think is baggage is actually healthy communication.
Yes. I would say, I mean, there's a way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't, if it comes off as like, you did this and you, it's your fault. It's, you know, like if it's always a you conversation, then it won't be as good as more of like, I feel this way because I am maybe carrying some of the baggage from my previous relationship. And because you said it this way, it made me mm-hmm. think of that. You almost take the blame off of them in a way and so that they don't get defensive.
Well, I think that's what I was trying to do is I was having a lot of anxiety about getting serious with him because mm-hmm. I knew it would end at some point. It was mm-hmm. one of those relationships where I'm like, this is really fun for
it's
right now.
It's just not going
to
be.
I could tell that he was much more invested in it than I was going to be.
Sure.
And so I thought I was doing him a favor by being like, okay, I know we're hanging out right now, but like, I don't really know if, which is granted probably really annoying, but I thought in the moment I was doing the right thing by being like, hey.
Well, and a lot of times,
just
like
guys, know where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times, guys, at least I think from a guy's perspective, they'll be like, oh, you're just saying that. You know, like, you're just saying you don't want to commit. And eventually, like, it'll click and we'll all be good.
And then it got to a point where then I like got a little tipsy whipsy and then said something really honest in mm-hmm. a joking way. And that
then
set it off a little bit. But he ended up doing what I was trying to avoid in that relationship. I was trying not to blindside him.
Mm-hmm.
When the feeling of falling in love to me is like, you kind of just start falling in love. love and then you can't really, not like you can't really stop it, but like I wouldn't want someone to start feeling that way about me.
And if then you're not feeling it back.
Knowing that in a month I'm probably going to be like, okay, we need to like mm-hmm. end this, isn't going somewhere. So I didn't want him to experience that. And then that's it, what ended up happening to me. We were supposed to go out and he like stood me up.
It was
it wasn't like awful, like I was crying on the floor, but I remember being like, what the heck?
Wait, whoa, blindsided
yeah,
from it. Yeah,
maybe blindsided. So you know what? Maybe it's great that I'm over communicating. We're going to find out. I got a date on Friday.
I think it'll go great if you communicate.
Well, thank you, Justin. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep that in mind on Friday and I will keep you all updated on whether or not I can do my April Fool's joke in April with my mom. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Thank you, coworker Justin.
Cool.
So I was getting a lot of questions about last week's episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, stop the podcast now and then come back here. But I was getting a lot of DMs on our Instagram, subtle plug, at Breakup Breakdown Podcast. And one of the main questions I kept getting was whether or not the interviewee's sister remained friends with the girlfriend after that relationship ended. And the answer to that is no. The sister cut things off immediately. Once she found out what happened, she decided that she was going to cut that relationship off, which what a great sister. She didn't have to do that. I think there are definitely ways they could have worked through that, but she just said, no, like you did my sister wrong and I'm not going to be friends with you. Another question that people were asking was just about forcing feelings in this throuple. Obviously, she's a straight woman who got married to a man and now there's this woman entering the relationship. What she told me was when it all happened and when he brought up the idea of becoming a throuple, she said that she sat down and Googled how to be polyamorous. I just find that so funny, like sitting down and being like, okay, how do I make this throuple work in this marriage when I did not agree to it at all? And one thing that I thought was so heartbreaking, but something that I think that everybody can relate to is she said, you know, I was willing to learn how to make this work to try and be the best girlfriend possible because I thought if I made this work, if I made him happy by doing this, he would love me more, he would want me around more, and then we'll all live happily ever after. And we've all done that to some extent. I mean, maybe you weren't willing to have another person into your relationship, but we've all done things, whether it was subconsciously or not, to try and make somebody like us more. And then another comment that I kept getting from people was, how was the relationship before the polyamorous conversation? Like, things couldn't have been perfect before this happened. And so I got some clarification on that. She said that they were definitely having problems and typical relationship issues. And in hindsight, like things definitely weren't as great as she thought that they were. But I mean, when you've been dating somebody since you were 15, like if that's all you've ever known, you don't know that things are supposed to be better. And the great part about this story is that she is in an incredible relationship now. She's absolutely thriving. And that's all we can hope for somebody that's come on this podcast, is that they've come out of a really crappy relationship and into a much healthier, better one. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Breakup Breakdown bonus. If you liked it, would love it if you left us a positive review. Followed us on Instagram at Breakup Breakdown Podcast. And I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.